Titans of Text.
Welcome, Glavians, Draconians, Gnomes, Ogres, one and all, to the Titans of Text podcast. We're your hosts, Eric Ostrich.
And Danny Austerity Nissenfeld.
And we have with us today the one and only Jason Acer Alexander, the veritable Astraeus of the text gaming world. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Let's start out with a bit of Darkwind, because that's what we're here to talk about. How far back does Darkwind's history among MUD stretch?
So Darkwind, as best as we can kind of trace it back, goes to somewhere around 1994 is when they first started it, and kind of the first original guys got it up and running. And we can find little remnants of it in various pieces of the source code throughout the lib.
So that sort of rolls us into the next question. What code bases did it start in?
So the original start was back in the, I don't know if you guys remember, like the MLR driver. MLR kind of became, I think it forked a million different directions, but it became LP, later became LD, and I think there's some derivatives of LD even these days that have kind of branched off. But even now, if you log into Darkwind and you type the command version, you'll actually see it comes up as MLR. But when you actually dig in, there's very little kind of left of those bones these days. It's pretty much custom. We've pretty much rewritten, I would say, 98% of the lib is fully custom. There's a few places I think you get in, and you'll notice actually some of the European spelling based on like what you're messing with. Sometimes, you know, armor has a U in it versus an O, and you'll find some of those kind of older inherits that we don't really touch much. It kind of sits in the darker corners of the MUD.
And how did you get your start with Dark?
So I was, this was back in 96. I was a sophomore at University of North Texas in Denton, computer science student. You know, you guys will remember that was kind of the early days of the internet even. So, you know, you had dial-up, but it was kind of the dial into the university servers. And you didn't really necessarily have a whole lot of internet connectivity. Back then, you know, I would use like Archie or Gopher or, you know, one of those fun apps, Usenet, IRC. But somewhere in there, I can remember going to the computer lab to work on some of my CS homework. And I look over and there's a guy like with a terminal pulled up playing, and there's like colors and everything kind of scrolling through. And I remember literally leaning over and going, "Hey, what is that?" And lo and behold, that was Darkwind. So I jumped in, kind of followed him in and set up a character and literally was hooked. I got my roommate hooked. I got basically all my friends in our little apartment right there hooked. And many of them still play today, which is kind of funny. But, you know, it's been a long kind of sordid history with Darkwind. You know, I started as a player. I was a terrible player. I'm still a terrible player. I'm not very good at playing my own game. You know, I can remember feverishly working kind of towards the level 30 requirement so that I could actually apply to be a wizard, an immortal, and start writing some code. And then once I whizzed, it was kind of from then on, you know, the rest is history, as they say. I was heavily involved with the MUD. I mean, you know, I think we all had a little bit of the drama over the last 20 years in our involvement with MUDs, but, you know, staff come and go and ownership changes over and, you know, people revolt and grab the code and spin up their own version of it. And I will say there was a lot of that, you know, over the years. You know, one admin shut it down, the other guys took it and set it back up, and three of the other most senior level guys kind of got it running, and we all left and started another MUD on another driver. And, you know, kind of all full circle, kind of come back around to Darkwind. Here we are, you know, 20 years later, and I'm kind of the de facto owner these days. It fell into my lap many, many years ago. Nobody else kind of really wanted to take it and run with it. So I did all the legal work of trademarking the name and grabbing the domain and kind of at least setting up a little bit of a defendable position, and set it up and started running it and kind of left it to do what it is. And my kids now are, I've got two daughters, 16 and 12, which dates me a little bit, but you know, I kind of got busy with real life, kind of leveling up my real life character. I joke that I have a wife plus one and kids plus two. So my saving role is pretty strong. But really, you know, I think early this year, one of the guys that was still kind of around, actually a girl, her name is Dean, huge credits to her. She kind of came back around and said, hey, you know, I'd really love to try to breathe a little life in this thing and see if we can get it going again. One last hurrah, if you will. And I said, you know what, that actually sounds like fun. I didn't have a whole lot of hobbies going on, and work was keeping me super busy, and I just needed some way to kind of deflate. My guys here at work don't really let me code much anymore. They scream at me every time I get near our source. So I said, you know what, this will be fun. So here we are. A couple months later, we've had some good success and having lots of fun and got some players back. So, you know, it's been a fun little ride the last couple months.
So you're staying active on the coding end of Darkwind.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten back and heavily involved. I love to code. You know, like I said, not something that makes a whole lot of sense for me to do at work. So with Darkwind, it's been great because, you know, I kind of just got in and made a big long list of things that I wanted to do, and kind of starting. You know, I talked to Eric a lot about this on Discord, but, you know, kind of just said, hey, you know, back in the day, we were kind of jerks. I mean, we, you know, and I think from what I hear from the community in general, it seems to be a common thread with the LP guys. You know, generally, we LP guys would kind of put our nose up in the air. And if you couldn't build your mud, you know, by writing code yourself, and you were just using scripts and all that stuff, then, you know, we were really better than you. And I think that's really kind of how we looked at the world, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And I think we took a lot of that same approach in the game. I mean, we basically gave the newbies no help, and we just kind of said, you know, hey, if you can't hack it, we don't really want you. And that's really well and good when you've got 120 players on at any one time and a login queue of everybody waiting to get in for somebody to log out. But, you know, nowadays, these are our customers, and this is what I tell my staff and my guys now is these guys are super valuable, and as I'm spending money marketing the game, and it's real money out of my pocket, you know, these guys are worth money to us. So we really have to listen and pay attention to what they want, what they're enjoying, what they're not enjoying, and be willing to compromise and not always be, you know, dicks about it. That's kind of where we are today.
So I guess how does we sort of heard a bit about that, but like what else sets Darkwind apart from other games?
So, you know, I had the same question from another guy, and I sat quietly and stared at my screen for probably a good 15 minutes. You know, what I would say is, I mean, I think with anything technology related, you know, I would argue that there's really nothing unique in this world anymore, and it's really hard to come up with an idea that's truly unique. And I hope that changes, but what I would say is Darkwind, we've been around for so long, and you know, we've really been pretty blessed with having active staff, a big staff of coders. And they've been with us some of these guys have been with me, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, right alongside me. The cool thing, and I guess the side effect from that is that we have a lot of features. I mean, you can imagine from our perspective, we haven't really taken an opinionated stance on how we built the game. We just thought, you know, that's a cool feature. Let's build it. And I think, you know, over the 20 years, if you were to put together kind of a timeline, I mean, we have a remort system, we have a hero system, we have multi-classing, we have auction systems, we have market systems, player-owned economies, player-owned ships, we have PK systems, we have hardcore player systems, essentially where you once you die, you're dead forever. So we have a ton of things, but, you know, I would say the one thing that we really that I haven't seen a lot of in other games, and I could be wrong, but, you know, really our base mechanic is kind of around what we call the uniques. A unique is just a super powerful item, whether it's a weapon or a piece of armor or some kind of item that has an action that it does. But there's only one of it in the world during that boot cycle. It can't be saved on the player's inventory. It only exists for that one reboot. And then the next time we reboot, you have to kind of run it again. And so, you know, the game is really kind of set up around each, you know, essentially every 5 days, we reboot the game. All the players get ready and they wait for the reboot. And then as soon as the game's up, they log in and they're all running through the game trying to grab as many of the uniques as they can. you know, 15,000-20,000 rooms. We probably have that last count close to 300 areas. You know, each area has at least one or two bosses, boss level mobs. Each one of those boss level mobs have a unique on them. So you can imagine there's, you know, 300 to 600 unique items in the game that they're all racing to try to get. And so that's kind of a fun mechanic that I've never really seen, you know, another game do.
You mentioned you have a remort system, and remort to me, like historically, and we're talking like, you know, ancient Deku land remorting, is you hit, there's a max level like 100 or whatever it might be. You hit it and then you start over in a new class as level one and just run back to 100 from there. How does your remort system play out, and what is level cap exactly?
Yeah, so level cap on our game is actually 90. We have different tiers, so you know, it obviously from 1 up to 45. At level 45, you hit what's called hero. Hero gets you a few more benefits, and it basically unlocks your first slot, so a multiplayer slot. So a lot like, you know, we kind of took the page as far as design from MMOs today is, you know, you open your client, your launcher, you put in your username and password, and then you're shown kind of the player screen. And you usually, you know, along the left-hand side or right-hand side, you've got the slots for each of your player characters that you've rolled. So we took a similar system where essentially you can either buy a slot for really high levels of money, or you can start unlocking them at certain levels. And so at that level, you can actually register your first slot, and that allows you to have multiple players. So in our system, you know, that's our remort is, you know, from our perspective, when you reach level 65, you can actually register your first mythic. 65, actually 45. You can buy one for, you know, 100 million coins. You know, essentially you get to register your first mythic character. And that character logs back in at level one, but it actually gets to join one of the mythic only guilds or classes is what we call them, guilds, but it's essentially in the Daiku world, it's a class. The mythic guilds essentially are super powerful classes that have a little more theme, a little more color, a lot more powers, a lot stronger. And that's essentially you start building that character back up as a mythic. And that's kind of how we look at the remort system.
So what is the PvE combat like? Are the bosses scripted encounters or are they just big enemies?
Yeah, you know, right now I would say bosses are really just large enemies, you know, super powerful, usually high level. They might be in a room with other friendly mobs that kind of jump in and help kind of tackle you. But we do have kind of what we call behaviors. They're basic AI modules that tap into the game loop. So essentially for every mob, can check on heartbeat, what's the current state of this mob? Is he fighting? Is he sitting? Is he resting? Is he healing? And all the different states. And so that mob's behaviors can then kind of evaluate what it should do or what it can do. And so you can actually wire up multiple behaviors to a mob to say, you know, does this mob try to heal itself? Does it, you know, cast magic spells? Does it aggressively track you from the room? You know, if it's a thief type player, does it steal the keg out of your hand? Does it try to disarm you if it's a fighter, and so on and so forth? So some of our bosses actually have a lot of those behaviors built in, so it makes the combat a little more aggressive, a little more fun. But I do like the idea of kind of the scripted encounters. We have the ability to actually role play a character as a whiz and get in and take control of it. I'll admit we don't do that a lot right now. I'd love to try to set up some more formal events where we do something like that. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the world of Darkwind, the lore? It's been around a while. Is it pretty much like a static story, like backstory type thing, or has it evolved over time with the players?
From our end, it's pretty static. Darkwind, you know, I think the lore behind it, you know, there was this dark wind. It was this evil dark wind that kind of ravaged the lands. It caused a lot of tension and strife and maimed and killed, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And you know, it's very Tolkien-ish, if you can already start to recognize it. You know, it kind of forced all the races to be at odds for a while, and that caused this infamous race wars and where everybody was just killing each other. And so the world kind of heavily fragmented and broke, essentially. And one day, you know, the gods kind of looked down and looked at what they had done and what had happened, and they decided to intervene. And so Darkwind actually has a set of gods that it created, and some are inspired by real gods and, you know, nature gods and stuff like that. And some are inspired by some of the original coders that actually started the mud, like Alarion and some of these guys. So, but, you know, these gods supposedly, you know, looked down, intervened, and in doing that, you know, decided to kind of shepherd all the races back together, bestow upon them supernatural powers and kind of magic and command of the elements. And in doing so, that kind of helped all the races kind of set them back on path, kind of righted the world. And at that point, you know, all the races kind of decided to, you know, shake hands and plant a flag there. And that's where the town naturally grew from. And that's the main town of Darkwind when you first log in. So that's kind of the background of it all.
So what do you see as the role of the staff for Darkwind? Is it a hands-off affair, or do you guys get heavily involved?
You know, from our end, I've always tried to keep pretty hands-off. You know, I think it follows my own personal management style at work, but, you know, I really like to kind of back up and let everybody have a lot of their own kind of creativity and leeway. I think nowadays, you know, we're all, you know, struggling to make sure that we have a good staff, an active staff, making sure that we have players, making sure that we're doing things to kind of further progress the game. And so, you know, I would really hope that I could kind of step back and let everybody kind of just say, hey, aren't we all grown-ups at this point? And, you know, can't we all just get along? What I will say is, in the last 2 months, you know, with this big influx of players coming back, a lot of that comes with player drama. And then, you know, inevitably that kind of creeps into, you know, staff drama. And so, you know, I've been working with a lot of my guys and team. You know, I say staff and team, these are all guys that are peers to me, and, you know, they ran the mud for many years when I wasn't around. They did in the last few weeks kind of come to me and say, hey, we really would like your leadership, kind of helping us set a roadmap and direction. And some guys are good with just kind of being left alone, and some guys kind of need a plan and, you know, at least kind of say, here's the, you know, the course we're going to set, and we're going to, you know, go this way, and then we'll probably go back this way, and we'll work on these 10 things. So that's really kind of what I'm trying to do, but, you know, certainly don't want to create any kind of malevolent dictator type situation where I'm just demanding things. That's not really me. But, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to work on now, is put together a roadmap, kind of say, what are our big themes? You know, you guys are, you know, professional developers in your day jobs too. So it's very familiar. You know, it's writing a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. Setting up some epic stories, and then decomposing those into, you know, basic user stories, putting those into Task and GitLab, divvying them up, kind of giving each of them, you know, each of the staff guys a, you know, a different area of responsibility that they can kind of own and control. That's pretty much what we're doing now, but hopefully we can still kind of keep it loose and fun.
And on the note of applying more business practices type stuff to the mud, How exactly did the revival of Darkwind go? I imagine that was a concerted effort. Why don't you take us through some of that? I believe that is probably one of the largest things of interest to people that are running MUDs today, is how do I get bigger? How do I grow my player base again?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think my two cents for anyone, you know, it seems really simple, but, you know, especially the guys that have a MUD that was once popular, you know, just don't forget you have data. You know, you have all of your players. Hopefully you collected email addresses along the way. I mean, that's one of the first things that we did, you know, to back up. You know, my background in normal day-to-day business, in real life, I'm CEO of a mid-sized private equity held company. We're an online internet training company that does basically boating, hunting, fishing, snowmobile, ATV, anything government regulated, we do online courses for. So, you know, kind of taking a page from that book, you know, my experience and my background, I kind of got in and just said, how do I get people back? You know, from my end, I wrote a quick file parser in C# that basically traversed, you know, we had multiple copies of the lib. You know, we took snapshots and backups, and Over the years, there were different versions of the game that, you know, essentially one person kind of forked the game and said, hey, I want to do this. I think it would be interesting. So we let them. What we did from our end is we kind of grabbed all of those different versions of the game, took the parser, recursively ran through all of them, grabbed all the player files, grabbed all the email addresses, and we came around with somewhere around 4,000 email addresses, give or take. A lot of duplicates, obviously, you know, a lot of bad emails. We kind of hand pruned a lot of those and then programmatically pruned a lot of those. But it came down to just like roughly a little over 4,000 email addresses that looked to be valid. I didn't want to get blacklisted or anything by using any kind of outside services. I didn't want to deal with like Constant Contact or those guys. So I literally set up a mail merge with my personal email account. And I sent a really personal email to each one of them just saying, you know, hey, you guys probably remember me. Hopefully you remember the game. We're kind of trying to get it back and revive it. Would love to see you. I think we had a lot of fun back in the day. Here's the address. Maybe I'll see you on there. And, you know, lo and behold, in the next week, the player count slowly started growing. And so now, you know, 2 months later, we've got about 110 active, unique players. They don't normally kind of log in at any one time. We tend to average around 30 players at one time. We peaked around 40, 45. You know, from our perspective, you know, that was a success. So, you know, we sent 4,000 emails. Only about 1,700 or so didn't bounce. And then we got a really good, you know, kind of response to that is I was really concerned that they were going to be like, hey, you know, why did you email me? You know, I didn't ask to be put on this, you know, kind of a no spam sort of thing. And what I got was actually the opposite. You know, a lot of these guys saying, hey, what great timing. Boy, I was just thinking about Darkwind the other day. What a lot of fun. Definitely will be on. And it's been really successful. So, you know, from there, we kind of took that and dovetailed it into kind of bigger campaigns. So, you know, I use Fiverr a lot. I mean, I joke about them on Discord, especially like the Axiom and those guys. It's like, man, you know, $5-$10, you know, I had a print flyer designed that I sent that out and walked and took it, dropped it off at a couple of game shops here in town in Dallas. And I just said, hey, you know, I know you guys run like weekly D&D campaigns. Can I leave this here? Do you mind? I think these guys would appreciate it. And we've had a couple people log in with that. You know, I worked with Eric firsthand. I mean, we set up, you know, the play.darkwind.org. We're basically driving people to that URL. That's been huge for us. So, you know, as we set up kind of Google PPC campaigns, as I'm getting things, you know, marketing towards that, that's my URL. It's super simple. It gets people kind of past, you know, any kind of technical issues of like, how do I log into this thing? You know, I know from my end, like you pretty quickly kind of see that, you know, Windows, they've removed the Telnet client. OS X has removed the Telnet client. Then you got to talk them into like, hey, well, you got to download this client, you know, Mudlet and install it and all this stuff. You know, pretty much all of our new players are coming in through the web client. And so that's been a huge step for us. You know, overall, I'm kind of getting all over the place here. You know, my advice to people is, you know, really kind of look at your big conversion points, right? You know, from my perspective, you kind of got three places, you know, and I call them the three R's. So you want to recruit new players, you want to retain your existing players, and you want to reactivate any players that you've lost. And then, you know, we're all very smart people. Most of us have been very successful in our day jobs. So, you know, sitting down and saying like, what do I got to do tactically to actually recruit new players? And then what do I got to do tactically to retain the players that I have today? And then what do I need to do or try to do to get players that I've lost? Or how do I even identify those players? And that's something I haven't kind of shifted into yet. I've been really focused on recruiting. Now we're kind of evolving into retaining. You know, my next phase will really be kind of reactivating players that have kind of come and gone. Obviously, we've had players jump in with this whole resurgence of the game. And then we've had them kind of already kind of fade away. Maybe they get busy, you know, life is happening. you know, how do I reach out and make sure that I try to pull them back into the fold? And there's, you know, there's a million things to do. And I think, you know, hopefully people and, you know, the, you guys that are out there running MUDs today, think about, you know, the data that you're capturing, think about, you know, all the different conversion points, you know, from, you know, a visitor to a newbie player into a mid-level player, into an experienced player, into a player that's gone, or even, you know, on our end, you can actually suicide your character. But, you know, making sure that you can kind of capture all the data at each of those points and actually take action with it. That would be my advice. I know it's kind of long-winded.
That was pretty great advice, I think. So hopefully we can see some other MUDs have a resurgence. However, we did mention, sort of hinted at it a bit there, Grapevine. So let's segue into an ad real quick. Are you tired of trying to get your MUD noticed on websites that not only look like they were designed in the 90s, but are about that stable too? Come to Grapevine. Here at Grapevine, helping your MUD look good is our top priority. Just head down to grapevine.house. That's grapevine.house. Your MUD has grown a lot since 1992. Why should you settle for a listing site that hasn't?
And speaking of Grapevine, of course, the other part of Grapevine is everyone that signs their MUD up essentially gets a free web client. And quite frankly, a pretty good looking one at that at this point. You mentioned that almost all of your new users have come through the web client. Like, how are you feeling about the web client? Like, does it provide a good experience? Are players actually saying things about it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's a great segue from earlier. I mean, I think from my end, you know, I'm very confident in driving, you know, spending money to drive audience to this web client. I think the web client is super stable. It's, you know, Eric's been really responsive with me to kind of work through the kinks that we had. And a lot of it was, you know, just weird edge cases where, you know, when I'm telling my players, hey, please use the web client, let me know what you think. And then I've got guys that are sitting on it for, you know, 6-8 hours. That's a whole different use case than probably, you know, Eric had tested for originally or could kind of easily test, you know, kind of out of the box. So it's been fun to kind of work with Eric directly as he's introduced all kinds of, I use the royal we, did you notice that? As we did all this work, but you know, it's been really cool because, you know, he keeps including kind of new features, new enhancements. And, you know, at this point, this last weekend, I actually had a group, there were four or five new players log in from Malaysia. And these are, as I started talking to them, I was kind of asking them, you know, where are you from? What do you guys do? You know, how'd you find us? You know, all the usual questions, wanting to kind of peer in a little bit into their heads. And they were all in the web client, which was interesting. They were all sitting in essentially in a computer lab in Malaysia, and they were all game design students. So, you know, they had all kind of gotten together and started searching around. They saw my Google ads, my PPC ads. They clicked on my ad and they went to the page, my landing page, big green button that says play now. They clicked the play now button and they went to the web client, and kind of transparent to them, they didn't really know Telnet or, you know, didn't have to understand kind of the mechanics of any of it. They were just suddenly logged into the game and like setting up a character and playing. And that was fun. I think that's going to be really key for me, and I would argue for any of these other guys that are out there running MUDs, is remove the technical challenge from the equation completely. You know, you really want it to be, transparent to the player that, you know, they're just logging into a game. It really doesn't, they don't really care like how they're doing it. As long as it looks nice and they don't have to install anything, the browser's not freaking out or throwing any kind of errors or, you know, popping up anything, they're suddenly in your game and kind of running with it with no experience. And I think that's been key for us. So I've been very, very grateful for it.
Speaking of kind of new players, what have you recently implemented to make the game more welcoming for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So from our end, it's been a whirlwind for the last 2 months. I think we all got in and got super excited with the kind of the you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes. And so we started rolling out all kinds of new stuff. We rolled out a daily rewards program. You know, I tried to look at a lot of the mobile apps and mobile games that I play, and while most of them are just utter garbage, you know, one thing I think that mobile apps do really well is that they kind of measure cohort, right? Cohort is this KPI, essentially, that kind of says, how often do people pick up your phone or pick up the phone and log into your app? And cohort typically is really high, you know, things like Instagram or Snapchat, or, you know, I look at my daughters and the way that they're constantly on their phone, grabbing these apps and these games and, you know, checking them and doing something, I have to literally force them to put their phone down. You know, on my end, you know, self-serving, you know, I want my game to be the same way, right? I want it to be really hard to put down. And so that's really kind of been the focus, is, you know, really kind of bringing the fun back. So, you know, one of the things that we did, you know, back in the day, it was real grindy. It was so hard to get anywhere. So we reevaluated all of our XP curves. You know, what are the XP requirements to get to each level? We literally put them in a spreadsheet, graphed them, and then changed that graph to be a little more smoother. So, you know, essentially levels 1 to 45 move really fast. It's really easy and quick to kind of get up to level 45. And a good player who's played Darkwind, who's played a MUD before, can probably get level 45. Some would say within weeks. I'd like to say, you know, within a month. But, you know, I can get in and hit level 20 pretty much in a couple days. And I'm, like I said, I'm a terrible player. So, you know, really kind of lowering those boundaries. And I think, you know, from my perspective, we did a lot of these things when I got in and I started thinking about it, like, what do we need to do to get this thing hopping again? And as I looked at all these kind of dumb policies and dumb things that we did, I said, God, why did we do that? And the answer often was like, because that's the way it's always been. And that just wasn't good enough. You know, reworking those systems, really looking at kind of the player feedback, you know, quickly to say, like, what do you guys not like right now? So we added in daily rewards so that, you know, each day they check in, they get a new reward. And as they go from day one up to day 30, you know, the rewards continue to escalate, whether it's more coins every day, more XP every day, more items. You know, you might start getting a set of items that build over the 30 days. So you get a matching set of armor, or, you know, a couple of really nice weapons that have some nice spam and power on them, abilities on them. So that's been huge. You know, outside of that, I mean, it's really kind of working through all the details of why it would be more fun and kind of breaking that down. So that's really been key for us.
No, I mean, that's if you look at like World of Warcraft, one of the best examples of breaking the industry. I mean, something no one thought would happen. Their well-known philosophy that every time they make an expansion, the level cap goes up by 5 or 10, and essentially it resets the XP gain to the point where level 1-2 expansion start level should take as much time as start level to the next 10. And it's something that always moves, that they just keep moving that target, so no one's ever spending too much time at the lower levels. It's something I think a lot of MUDs could take on as a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from our end, you know, what I told the guys is I wanted the player to kind of quickly get in and get a taste of success. If you can go and kill a few mobs, and then suddenly you're already got enough XP to go advance a couple of stats, or, you know, get to level 2 or level 3. You know, on our MUD at level 5, you can actually go join a guild or a class. And so at level 1, you're really classless at that point. You have a couple of basic abilities that you can kind of use. Eric knows, because he was playing Darkwind for a little while there. And then once you hit level 5, you go join, you know, whether you're going to be a paladin or a bard or a ninja or, you know, a Geru. You know, from that end, then you kind of get an upgraded set of skills. And then, you know, what I really wanted and the goal was, hopefully that climb to 45 is so quick. At that point, you've invested time and resources, and you've probably had some really great experiences, and so you're kind of emotionally attached to the game. And then, you know, that first time you run into something that frustrates you, which is inevitable, none of us can build a perfect game, then they're going to be a little more forgiving, a little more lenient, and say, you know what, this game's actually pretty awesome despite that. And hopefully they tell us what it is, and we can kind of tweak and adjust. So that was really our biggest goal for everything there.
And I think we should wind out the interview here with what's the future of Darkwind? What do you guys see down, you know, the near path, the far path? Like what's going to happen to Darkwind?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think from my end, you know, I'm an idea guy, so I can sit around and come up with 30 ideas, and poor Eric is probably tired of hearing me. I'm constantly on Discord like, hey, what about this? And hey, what about that? But I do the same thing at work, and I do the same thing in Darkwind. Yeah, but I would say, you know, trying to keep myself, you know, focused. You know, we're really going to kind of be working with Eric. He's got some really cool ideas with the web client. He's got some really cool ideas on the Grapevine client. And I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, kind of rising tide raises all boats. You know, I'm not really here to compete with all the other MUDs. I think, you know, we're all to that point where as long as you're not Iron Realms or Aardwolf or any of those guys, you know, we're just trying to figure out how to enjoy our days and have something that we can be proud of and maybe spend a little of our, you know, hobby time on it. And so, you know, I'm hoping to do more with Eric, and really I'm really looking at, you know, his web client as being our kind of de facto rich client. He's got some ideas that are coming up that I think is really going to take it to the next level for us. From our end, you know, I think we're going to continue to kind of streamline the new user experience. As it is now, I've got all my marketing kind of geared up. We've had 12 new players just in the last 4 days. It sounds ridiculous from the old days, but 12 new players right now is a smorgasbord of new players. I can't even imagine. You know, we're doing things to try to understand why some of those guys are jumping in and jumping out, and making sure that we grab them quickly, make them feel part of things, and make them have a good experience. So that's really our biggest factor. We've got some technical debt. I mean, it's a dirty word, a cuss word, but 20 years of lib, not all of that lib is actually good. So we've got to go back and fix a few things. And having players again, you know, we had a lot of players way back in the day. We built the game for that. Then we had very few players, so we adjusted the game for that number of players. And now we have a moderate amount of players. And so we've got to kind of come back and readjust for, you know, the player count that we have now, kind of the average players. And it's just a different game. So we need to do that. And there's always, you know, things always are marching forward. We've got new guilds coming, such as Monks, Bastet, Grawls, kind of the meta guilds for our Werewolf class, Geru. We've got some instance-based dungeons. So basically, it's nothing super new or innovative, but it's new for Darkwind is basically, you know, stepping into a cave and behind the scenes auto-generating a, you know, 120-room dungeon that requires them to kind of find their way through and then get to a boss mob, defeat it, and then they can kind of get out of it, kind of a raid, a WoW raid-style theme. We've got a new quest system that introduces kind of what you're used to with most MMOs, you know, kill quests, item quests, escort quests. And then my last thing, and I'll quit rambling, but you know, I really like the idea of a main storyline, something that kind of draws you through, and you know, it's kind of a continuation of your newbie academy experience, but forces you to kind of wander through the mainland. And you know, in our case, we have multiple continents and ships and all that stuff. So you know, forcing the players to kind of get out and explore the world kind of through this storyline, I think that's really interesting. So who knows? Lots of fun stuff out there.
It sounds like great stuff. I know ideas are cheap. Implementation is king.
That's right.
But you got to have the ideas first, and a lot of those sound pretty good.
All right. Thanks for coming and joining us on an episode, Jason.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. I appreciate you guys having me. This is really cool. I love what you guys are doing. I think the community here, I found the MUD Reddit, and then that pointed me to the Discord, and then off to the Slack. And lo and behold, I found a lot of you guys out there super nice and super accommodating and working hard every day to kind of keep MUDs alive. And I appreciate that. So thank you guys. Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, let me put it out there. You know, I'm always open to talk to anybody. If anybody wants to reach out to me on Discord or in the Slack, or, you know, acer@darkwind.org, I'm always happy to help discuss or talk through anything. Feel free.